Perhaps one of the most humbling features that God has privileged the children of God with is a degree of his power. In John 14, 12, Jesus Christ said, "He who believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these you will do, because I go to my Father in heaven." How many of you know that power that Jesus had, he gives to us? Did you know that? Another aspect of power in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So that's the power of the Holy Spirit, another degree of power. But the power I want to talk to you today is the power that is in your tongue. The power that God has given everyone, not just followers of Jesus Christ, but even those that are atheists. And you need to know the truth and the privilege it is that with your tongue, you can bless, you can create, you can recreate, or you can curse, you can damn, and you can cause problems with your tongue. It is a power that God has given to every one of us, and very few of us realize how powerful it really is. I'm in the series, What is Vision? We're talking about the vision of Evangelical Christian Church of Waterbury. And last week I talked about the multi-generational church and how if a church doesn't reach the younger generation, it will eventually die out. And we have to reach that next generation. Well, today I want to talk about how you can help us reach the next generation. And it's called Blessing Evangelical Christian Church Next Generation. How do you bless them? Well, you can guess it. You can bless them with your tongues. You bless them with blessing your children. You bless the children here. Maybe you see the pastor sometimes get down and play with the kids and hug the kids and joke around the kids. I don't do that to politic. I do that because I want the children to know I love them and I bless them and to let them know it's a good thing to come to the house of God. It's a wonderful thing. And if your kids ever ask you, "Are we going to church this week?" you're failing as a parent. If they have to ask, "Are we going to church this week?" you're not doing your job as a parent. You got to bring them to the house of the Lord and let them be raised up in this church and to understand what it is to be a Christian. And so I'd like you to, we're going to go to Genesis, and we're going to talk about the tongue and the power of the tongue. And I'm going to have you stand up, and we're going to read this. I'm going to try to read it together. And I want you to know the power that we have in reaching the next generation. Reaching that. So let's say this together, all right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the... And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. So evening and morning were the first day. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so, according to what he what? Said, the power of what he said. Let's go down one more. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give the light on the earth. And it was so. God not only used his mouth and his words to create this world that we live in, but he expects you to use your mouth and your tongue to create things around you to bless. And so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that we are in your house on Resurrection Day. Every Sunday is Resurrection Day, where we celebrate the risen Savior. We thank you, Lord, that our God is a living God, not some dead man's faith. And Lord, today as we talk about blessing the next generation, we have the power in our mouths to do that. Help us, Lord, to be humble and to receive the word of God into our hearts with humility. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated, please. God used words in creation, and he used words beyond creation. He used words to bless. He used words to curse. And I want to talk to you about the blessing for the next generation so that you would understand it doesn't just come from the pastor. There is power in your words. There is power. And it's in our creation. It's planned by our creation. It's planned in our instruction as parents to our children. And God has given every parent the power to make the choice. Now, here's our vision of our church. Evangelical Christian Church's vision is to be a multi-generational, multicultural family. And we're going to talk about what it means to be a cultural and a family down the road. But today we're talking about blessing a multi-generational church. So let's go to number one. God has given you and me the power to have a choice to speak life or the opposite. Speak life or death. Speak blessings or profanity. You have the choice. And don't say, I can't help myself. Because when you say, I can't help myself, you're calling God a liar. God has given you the choice to speak life. But that means nothing unless you use it. You use it. Very important we understand that. Now, the wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon, he said something about the power of the tongue. He said this in Proverbs 18, 20 to 22. He says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his what? That's interesting. From the produce of his lips he shall be. Death and life are in the power of the, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And then lastly, he attaches this verse on here. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains what? Do you think he gets favor by cursing his wife out or by blessing his wife? Let's talk about this. You have the choice to use your tongue with the power of God, number one, for your personal self. Your personal self. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Your mouth gets you a job. Your mouth gets you fired. Your mouth gets you a promotion. Your mouth gets you a raise. Your mouth determines how much food goes in your stomach, and whether it's a lot, like the pastor's, or whether not much. Is that what it says? A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his. You decide your prosperity in this life to some degree by how you handle the power of your tongue. Isn't that amazing? I'm still working on the power of my tongue. I think it's a lifelong thing to work on making sure grace and mercy and peace and kindness and goodness flows out of your tongues. Not only that, not only is the tongue for your personal life, but number two, the tongue is for your relational life. How many of you have really good friends? I can tell you why you got good friends right here. Your tongue. Your tongue attracts people and your tongue repels people. You know that, right? Every friendship comes from your tongue. We have friends because they understand our tongue, because they like the spirit in which we speak with our tongue. And then we've had some friendships end because of their tongue, and we didn't like what they said, and we didn't think it was right what they said. Some friendships are for a season. Some friendships are for a life. Some friendships are short. But every friendship is dependent upon what? The tongue. And then number three, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. How do you have a good marriage? It's not money. It's the tongue. Boy, it's very quiet in here today. You could just throw a pin out and hear it drop. The power of the tongue is what makes a good marriage. Young people that are not married yet, you want to find out how they're going to treat you? How are they using their tongue while they're dating you? That's how it works. The power of the tongue. The tongue can create kindness and make people feel welcome and warm around you. Or the tongue can create harshness, tension. And you say, did you walk in that room? It felt like you could cut it with a... Had to do with the tongue. When you go into business, you make deals with people. Usually it's made over the phone with the tongue. Then the contract happens. And the contract is signed based on the conversation. No one wants to enter in a conversation with a hot-tempered man or a woman. They want someone who keeps their word. What is keeping their word? They do what they say. That's the power of the tongue. I'm talking about creating this power in our lives to bless the next generation. So important that we understand that. Now, let's talk about marriage. How is a marriage formed? Before the consummation of a marriage, it's first formed with what we call the oath. The oath, that's in the nursery. The oath. And how do you do the oath? For better, for worse. For richer, for poor. In health and in sickness. Till death do us what? And that is an oath. And to this, I pledge you my what? I pledge you my love. The wedding begins with words, the tongue, the oath. And it ends when someone breaks the fidelity of what? The oath of the words. No one gets a divorce until, first of all, what was promised in the marriage is broken. The power of the tongue. And parents, how do we teach our kids? Do we not teach them with our words? Don't we teach them first? When they get little children and they start doing stuff, we go, no, 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 no. We got to teach them what that means, and then they grow up. How do I, as a pastor, as a shepherd, teach you the spiritual truths that God has given to me? With my mouth. Well, don't you do it by example? Well, of course I do it with example. But the words have to line up with the example. In fact, the Apostle John said in 1 John 3:18, he said, let us not love in word or in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, what you say in private, and in truth, what you live in public. Your inward life has to match out with your outward life. Your private life has to match up with your public life. And it all begins with the tongue, with the tongue. Life is transmitted with the tongue. Now, how many here are firstborn? Raise your hand. Well, we got quite a few. Firstborn. You know, they say that parents are always the hardest on firstborns. Do you know why they're the hardest? Because we don't know what we're doing. No parent knows what they're doing when they have the first child. So we try this, we try that, we get angry, we holler, we do this and we do that. And then with the second born, the firstborn says, they get away with murder. It's because we give up. We just give up. And I'm sure, I know I've been very harsh with my oldest son, Paul, and had to apologize many times, but that's how we learn. That's how we learn. And we not only learn with this tongue with success, but we learn with mistakes and humbling ourselves and asking for forgiveness. Number one, God has given you the power to choose to use your tongue to speak life. Not death, not nagging, not cursing, but life. You can do it. Number two, the second thing that God has given you the power to do is to develop a value or a conviction in your parenting, in your life, in your singleness, whatever it is, that you will speak blessings to the people around you and blessings to your children. Very important. It doesn't just happen. God intentionally spoke and things came into creation in an order. You parents must intentionally speak things to your children and it'll go right into their heart. Right into their heart. Very important that we understand that. We speak blessings. Now, I'm going to give you some Bible illustrations. In the Old Testament, several of the men of God who were parents would speak blessings onto their children, and some spoke curses. Some spoke curses. Some children got blessed, some children didn't because of their respect to their mom and dad. But I want to start with Noah. How many remember the story of Noah, Noah's flood? And after the flood, Noah got into his vineyard and got a little too drunk. And one of his sons mocked him. Do you remember the story? They mocked him. And the other two sons, he mocked them to the two boys, and the other two boys went in and they covered him up. Looked like he got drunk and was naked, and one laughed and the other one. So after that, what Noah did is he used his mouth, and it says, Noah said with his tongue, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, that's one of his sons, and may Canaan, who was his grandson of the son that mocked him, may Canaan be his what? That's not a blessing. And may God enlarge Japheth, that's the other son, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem. He blessed two of his sons, and the other one, he cursed the grandson. Now, let me tell you something. Listen to me, those of you of darker skin. This is where the lie comes from of why black people are cursed. It is a false doctrine. It's not true. It's ignorance. But people say Canaan was black, and he went to Africa, and that's why black... I'm going to tell you the truth, because there's true doctrine and false doctrine. What you don't realize is that racism came from this verse right here. You want to know why some people are racist? It comes from this verse. And some ignorant people say, that's why they got cursed, because Noah, it is wrong, it is false, it's not true, it's a lie from the pit of hell, and don't you forget it. But some people want to know where racism comes from. Right there. That's the verse. Right there. It's not true. It's a lie. And don't you propagate racism with your mouth and speak death, but speak life. So that's what Noah did. And then there's another guy, the father of our faith. In fact, the Muslims claim him as a father. The Christians do, and the Jews. Abraham. And there was a story with Abraham. God blessed him with his mouth. God said to Abraham, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And then Abraham his nephew, who was always causing him problems. There's one in every family, isn't there? It's always someone in the family that always gets himself in trouble. And Abraham's so kind, he goes down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the four kings aligned with Sodom and Gomorrah were attacked by five kings of the north, and the five kings defeated the four kings and took all the wealth of the four cities up. So these five kings had the wealth of nine cities. And Abraham says, and they got my nephew. So Abraham went and attacked him. Him and 313 soldiers went and attacked him. And Abraham got the wealth of nine cities from winning a battle. Do you know what he did after he won the battle? He went back to the king and the priest of Salem, Melchizedek. Anyone ever heard that name, Melchizedek? He's the high priest, and he's a king of Salem. And he said, God has blessed me. He has protected me. He prospered me with the wealth and gold and silver of nine kings, and I have to worship God. So he went to the high priest, and first of all, he gave a tithe. Second of all, he praised God for protecting him. Third of all, there was the first communion. The first communion is this next verse here in Genesis 14. Then Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, blessed him. And he said to Abraham, he blessed Abraham with his mouth, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of what? You got to write that one down. Who really possesses heaven and earth? Our God. And be blessed. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered you. He protected them. He delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him a tithe of all. This was before it was law. Abraham did it out of his heart. It wasn't commanded. He says, I'm going to worship God with the wealth he gave me. I'm going to worship God with Holy Supper. And I'm going to worship him with a blessing. And then the high priest blessed him back. Isn't that beautiful? You can do that, parents. You can do that to other people. Then there's another individual, Isaac. Remember, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And Esau was a real pain in his parents' derriere. Everything they asked him not to do, he did. They asked him not to marry the women of Canaan. He says, oh, I'll go marry three. And it grieved them, and it was really rough. And so he missed the blessing. He missed out on the blessing. And Isaac blessed Jacob, who listened to his parents, and he said with his tongue, with his mouth, may God give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of grain, plenty of wine. Let people serve you. Nations bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who what? Curses you. And blessed be those who bless you. The same blessing of Abraham came upon Jacob, Isaac and Jacob. This is why we love Jews. You shouldn't hate the Jews, because they're the seed of Abraham. If you curse them, you get the curse. If you bless them, you get the blessing. You understand that? Always understand that. So these were the blessings that came down, and they just opened their mouths, and these men were men of God, and they were parents. Parents, you can do this. Ladies, you can do this. You bless your children, and you develop that practice of doing that, and the Lord will bless your kids. But it's got to be a conviction. One of the highlights in our life was when our kids graduated from high school, and when my son Jared's here today, when Paul and Jared graduated, we had a big party. And at the party, we not only celebrated, but I got up and I gave a speech. Now, the Jews do this with their bar mitzvah when they age 12, and it's like becoming of manhood. But, you know, we Christians, we should honor our kids when they have a big celebration, huge celebration. So I got up there and I acknowledged my sons, both of them, and I blessed them. I told how proud I was. I told everyone of the achievements. And no one ever dislikes a parent's blessing. Everyone loves a parent's approval. And we have to do this. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. And I would do that. And I encourage you to do it. Now, there are other ways to bless your kids other than, you know, with your mouth. But I'm trying to teach you how to grow ECC multi-generationally by blessing them with your mouth. Blessing them with your mouth. How many remember when your dad put his arm over your shoulder? Nothing like when a mom puts her arm around a shoulder, or when you got a pat on the back from your dad or your mom. A whisper in the ear, it's going to be okay. Maybe, you know, someone broke up with you and it broke your heart and you say, it's going to be all right. You're going to get through this. And you give a little bit of a sign of affection. Maybe it's putting them to bed and tucking in the sheets and giving them a kiss on the forehead or a kiss on the cheek, good night. We remember those things. But just as important as your actions is your words, young people. Is your words. The blessings that affirm. The blessings of the mouth that approve. The blessings of your words to commend your children. To compliment them. Words that speak love and life. Words that speak affection. Words that build Christ confidence that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Nothing is below you as long as you keep on the path of Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. He will direct your path. Now, the fountainhead of the blessing that we are to speak to not only our children but those around us comes from Numbers chapter 6. And you know this because I end just about every service with it. It's the Aaronic blessing that God told Aaron, the first high priest, to bless his generation, and every generation after him was to receive the blessing of the high priest. And it goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. So let me kind of break that down a little bit. Number one, what does that mean? Well, first of all, we're to transmit that to every generation. Not just the pastor, but others. Number two, you say, well, pastor, I'm not a priest. Yes, you are. Who said you weren't a priest? Are you reading the Bible? Revelations 1, 5 to 6 says, and from Jesus Christ who has made us what? You thought the Greek Orthodox Church was the only one that had priests? Or the Catholic Church? You are a king and a priest to his God and Father, and you have the power to bless. You do. According to the Word. Not because I said it, but because it's in this book. That's the important thing. So let me just give a couple things to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. First of all, what's that mean? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord prosper you and protect you. This is what you're praying over your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. May the Lord protect you and bless you and prosper you. That's what it means. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, prosperity means a goodness in life. A goodness at work, a goodness in your health, a goodness at home, a goodness in your friendships, a goodness in your finances, a goodness in everything. It means that's what you're praying over your children. The Lord bless you, prosper you, and protect you. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. But God is faithful. But God is faithful who will keep you and protect you from the evil one. You're just praying the word over your children. So important that we understand. Then the second thing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Now, all you got to do is go outside to a sunny day. Most of us like sunny days. Most of us like a nice sun shining down. That's kind of the word picture of when God the Father, you pray that blessing on your children and his face is upon you. It's a life of abundance. When there's just the right sun, there's good crops, amen? There's a good vineyard. There's good flowers. There's an abundance. And then the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And then be gracious to you. Do you know the difference between grace and mercy? Mercy is the judgment that you and I deserve that God does not give you. Grace are the blessings that God gives you that we do not deserve. We deserve the judgment, but God is merciful. We don't deserve the blessings, but God gives them to us anyways. You got it? So the Lord be gracious. You're saying, God, I'm praying for my son, for my daughter, for my grandchildren, that you will give them the blessings that they don't deserve. But you give it to them anyways because you're a good God. You're full of grace. Full of grace. And then the next one. The Lord lift his countenance upon you. That's just the smile of God's approval. Lord, whatever they do, if they're in business, let them dot every I, let them cross every T. Open the doors you have for them. Shut the doors that you don't want them to walk through. Whatever it is, Lord. That's what we're praying when we bless our kids with this prayer. And then lastly, and give you peace. Peace is the guardian of your soul. Your soul is a mind, will, and emotion. You need peace in all three. Wouldn't you agree? Perhaps some of you adults don't have it because your parents never blessed you in this way. You need peace, not only in your mind, will, and emotions, you need it in your body. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be stressed about nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Be worried about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and your mind. You know how you get the guardian of peace in your heart and mind? It's prayer. It's not wrong to be stressed. It's wrong what you do with it. The Bible says when you get stressed about something, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Say, here, God, I change my stress with peace. And you might have to do it more than once. That's what you do. Colossians 3:15 says this, and let the peace of God rule your heart. I was telling my sons, when you make a decision, you don't go into it unless you have a peace. If you don't have a peace, you ask God to close the door. If you do have a peace, you ask God to help you because there are some things we just don't know. But Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule your heart. It really means it's where we get the English word umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire. Anyone like baseball? Strike! Ball! You're out of here! When they throw out the coaches, you're out. That's what you do. You let it umpire you. And you got to know it. Well, let me wrap this up. Number three. Number one, God has given you the power to choose to speak life, life to those around you. Number two, he wants you to develop a conviction and a value. And the convictions and values come through practice. Don't ever believe practice makes perfect. That's baloney. I took piano for 12 years. Practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. How many knew that? You can play the song wrong 20 times. It's not going to be perfect. Practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And so you keep blessing your children. You make a practice of doing it. And then the third thing God has given you the power to do, it's your choice, is you can speak these blessings continually over your children. Every day. Now, when my kids were young, you know, we would pray for them. We'd tuck them in bed. We'd read the Bible. I would always lay hands on them and pray every night. Lay hands, pray for them every night. And that's what I would do. Very important. You can do the same thing. I would lay hands on their pillows if they're going through a rough time at school or something in a relationship. I'd lay hands on the pillow and pray over that pillow so that when they put their head on the pillow, my prayer's in the pillow. The pillow's going to get it. Get right in their head. They don't need to know every time you bless them. We would do it. I mean, and you don't have to be weird or legalistic about it, but just be normal. Let it be a habit to form. And sometimes when you do that, God may have other things come to mind, and you may prophesy and speak some type of a blessing of their future. Many times when I go over to people's houses, sometimes the parents will say, "Would you pray over my children and bless them?" I say, "Sure, sure, I'll do that." How many of you remember Brian and Loss? Brian and Shannon Loss. They moved a couple years ago. They moved. He got a new job in Pennsylvania. So before they moved, they invited Cindy and us over, and they gave us a nice meal, and they said, "Would you pray for us?" And I said, "Sure." And the Lord began to speak to me, and I said to their daughter, Maria, who is only, 8 or 9 years old, I said, "You're going to be a school teacher. That's your calling in life. You pursue it. That's why you love to learn. That's why you love to try to teach your, you know, Noah. And Noah, you have a call of God on your life." Noah's only like four years old, five. And I began to bless them, and I prophesied over them. And the parents were so happy. And, of course, the kids, it kind of just kind of went out like this. But the parents remember that. And then they pray that in. Before my son Jared moved, he used to work in Menlo Park out in the Bay Area in California. When we went out there to visit them, he had some Indian friends, and his friend was Shabu, and they were very kind to Jared at the church. He went to this big church out there. So when we went out there, Shabu and his wife from India invited us over, and they said, "Would you bless our kids?" And I said, "Sure." So they treated us a nice meal, and I began to pray, and the Lord began to prophesy through me. And I said to the son, I said, "God's going to use you with computers." And I said to the daughter, "And God's going to use you in the medical field." And then to the oldest daughter, "You're going to follow your mother's footsteps as a biochemist." Well, the parents jumped up, and the grandmother, so excited. "Last week we told her she's going to be a doctor. And my son just started, coding. Just started coding last month, and you just said he's going to be using that." And, of course, the oldest one is going to be a biochemist. She just rolled her eyes at me. "Oh, great, just what I want to be." But that's how God used me. I blessed them. And then you pay attention to what else God brings into your spirit. And you speak it. You with me? You speak it. At the end of a service, when I pray for you, I often say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you." And I'll bring in some of what I preached. And may the Lord increase your faith. And may the Lord help you to give peace to others. And may God give open doors. And whatever it is, this is how you bless your kids. And you pray over them. And you have the power to create their future. Isn't this amazing? Or not? You have the power to create blessing or curses. You have the power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love the tongue will eat of its fruit. What fruit? Sour fruit? Bad apples? Rotten pears? Or grapes? Papaya? Little kiwi? Your tongue has the ability to do this. And you know what? When you do it right, when your kids move out of the house and they get their own life and they start working, they'll still call you up and say, "Hey, I'm thinking of doing this. I'm thinking of buying this. Thinking of this job. Thinking of moving here. Would you pray, please?" And, well, of course. Of course. My kids still do it. They, you know, not sure here, not sure there, and pray. And that's what you do. We pray. And, you know, the other day I was talking to Jared, and I said, "Jared, how does God speak to you?" And he says, "Open doors and slam doors. That's how he does it." And I said, "Well, you pay attention to that. Because you want, that's very black and white. Black and white. Did you pay attention to that?" And you have to find out how God speaks to you so that you hear it. And then you need to ask your children who you're blessing how God speaks to them. Because he's a God who has a mouth, and he formed your mouth. And he wants you to use it for blessing. Amen. How do you do it, Pastor? See this? You put your hands on your kid's head. You put your hands on your kid's shoulder. You put your hand around him on his back and you hug him. And you just say, the Lord bless you. May God guide you. May he prosper you. May he keep you in the center of his will. May you always say, your will, your way, always. May you not say, your will, my way. It's just the power that God has given to us. And you don't have to wait till you become a man or woman of God. You are a man and woman of God. You are a king. You are a priest. God has made you that way. Don't let the devil rob that from you. And don't be so limited that you think you can only bless your own children. You bless other people's children. Bless them out loud. Bless them under your breath. My goodness, I have dreams where I'm praying for people. You ever have dreams of your ministering to people, praying for people? I do it when I'm awake. I do it in my dreams. Those are good dreams. But only you can decide. If we would confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your tongue has the power to bring the blood and forgiveness of Christ. That if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Your tongue has the power to bring you into salvation. You with me? Your tongue has the power. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. I'm going to tell you, probably the most important thing your kids need today in this crazy world is peace. Stop telling God to do it. You do it. So many people say, God, you do it. And God says, no, you do it. I've given you the power in your tongue. Now use it for his glory. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this teaching on reaching the next generation of this church. We reach them, Lord, by reaching our children, by blessing our children. And Lord, I pray that our children would not think that going to church is an option. But I pray, Lord, that we as parents will say, Lord, it is a conviction. We're going to bring you up in the house of the Lord like our parents brought us up. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would give us a greater courage, Lord God, to bless these kids, to bring them into the house of the Lord, to let them know, Lord God, only blessings can come from the house of the Lord. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would use this word today, and as a hot iron, you would put it on our hearts and in our spirits. And Lord, every time we pray for our kids, we would not pray out of fear and out of crisis and out of anxiety and out of whatever else is going on, but Lord, that we would turn it around and we would, and by faith, we would speak blessing. We would speak your word. We would speak, Lord God, your goodness to them and your grace. We love you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that my parents did that with me. Lord, I'm doing my best to do it with my children. And I pray that you would help us to realize, Lord, you've given us this ability. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? How many know this is a good blessing to speak over your children? Let's say it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is for me. Amen. If one of your children is near you today, why don't you, as I bless you, you lay your hands on the children and you bless them. All right? Give you some practice. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and may he teach you the power and the wisdom of your tongue. And may your tongue catapult your children into a greater blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.